You sort that out on your own. I'm going to talk some baseball with Jason Collette, RotoWire, FanGraphs, and a long time covering Major League Baseball, and I think right now we can say he qualifies as a longtime charlatan as well. Jason Collette back with us on the Technicom hotline. Jason Collette, I'll put you on the spot, and if you don't have one, that's fine. Do you have a favorite dad joke of all time?
No, I don't. You put me on the spot. Yeah. I was dreading that question coming out, so no.
Good Lord. Well, it's okay. No, I'm fine, because I think we actually ran through them all. So you probably would have just repeated one, because we just got every dad joke in the known universe in the previous segment. But let's talk some baseball with you, buddy. I want to talk about what Tyler Glasnow had to say to start, because you and I talked last week about the sticky substance scandal in Major League Baseball. We got some players pushing back. Pete Alonso is like, stop talking about the sticky stuff. Let's talk about, collusion and manipulating baseballs. But here's Tyler Glasnow this week, I think, actually presenting a fair argument, Jason, that, hey, you let us use sticky stuff or don't, that's fine. But, doing this in the middle of the season is not good for the health and safety of pitchers. And he said that, his most recent injury, he attributes to now not being able to use the same substances that he's used for his entire career. Do you buy that argument?
100% buy it. And I'm, yes, he pitches for my favorite team, but he made a very valid point. And when you try to think about any other sport, I can't recall, and I'm sure there's probably one out there, and a listener may text later, but I don't recall any sport changing the rules in a major way in the middle of a season with 2 weeks' notice. And some will say, oh, they gave them notice in spring training they were doing that, but I believe we talked a little bit about this last week. Baseball has a terrible track record of saying they're going to get serious about stuff and then looking the other way in about a week's time. But they seem 100% for real this time, and so they gave these guys about 2 weeks' notice on this stuff, and that's really where I have a big problem with it, is because for decades they have looked the other way, and now all of a sudden when they're starting to look bad because of what they've done with the production of the baseball, they throw this into play. And so did they need to enforce what's already on the books? Absolutely. Could it have waited until the end of the season and put everything in place for 2022? Absolutely.
Well, and I think it's interesting. Last night I was talking about this with my little brother who pitched in the Oakland A's organization, and he told me, as a former pro, he said, man, I'd grab some pine tar. If there was none handy, I'd mix up a little sunscreen and rosin, use that rosin bag to get a better grip on the baseball. That has been done for a very long time. Right, but much like, let's say, the trash can scandal with the Houston Astros, and to a lesser extent maybe the Red Sox, I remember a couple of years ago, Black Jack McDowell, who is now the former head coach at Queens University, came on this station and said, "Oh, look, this is overblown. Tony La Russa had a camera set up in the scoreboard at Old Comiskey Park back in the day, and so on and so forth." But I think then we talked about it being where the line that should be drawn and was drawn by Major League Baseball was the use of technology, to have that information in real time. Do we look at this and say, okay, there's been rosin and sunscreen and pine tar around for quite some time, but it's now the use of spider tack and pelican grip and, let's say, boiled Coca-Cola where we're saying they crossed the line? Is that how we're looking at this?
Yeah, and I would say, baseball was invented in 1869 officially, and cheating started about a day later, right? And I think on Twitter the other day, another charlatanian, Richie Schaefer, had a great example. He's like, using pine tar is like doing 60 in a 55. Using spider tack is like doing 100 in a 55. Pitchers were given an inch and they took a mile. So that's really where it comes into play like that. But every team forever has had a handyman, somebody who has passed down the craft of, hey, this is what you should do. But they got a little greedy and they went a little further. And then again, because nobody checked them, they just kept doing it. And now this is where it happened. I'm okay with what they're doing. I just hate the way it's being implemented. They should have waited until the end of the season.
Is there anything that you fear comes from this, or something that you'd predict will happen further because of the decision that Major League Baseball has made? What if anything should we be looking for from now on the rest of the season?
Well, when you've got guys touching 100 and they say they need to have that kind of feel for the baseball so they know where it's going, and something flips and gets domed. We saw Cedric Mullins get domed yesterday with a fastball that slipped out of somebody's hand. Hopefully nobody gets hurt, but I'm just concerned with the velocity and the command. These guys just don't have the decision. There was a great point of view video the other day of Vanderbilt's Jack Leiter throwing 98 under the chin. The guy had a quarter of a second to make the decision to bail out. And one of the things that's come out of this is baseball could uniformly change the production of the baseball to make it more sticky. Or I think even Trevor Bauer has said this. Give us a legal substance, something that you put on the baseball before the game instead of this mystery Delaware River mud that nobody knows exactly what's on it or how to apply it. It's just one guy in the clubhouse for every team does that. But, you know, you look over at the Korean and the Japanese leagues, they have a tackier baseball. The managers have talked about it. It is produced that way, and they make all substances illegal because the baseball is good enough, and the players over there say, yes, the baseball is fine enough. So baseball's got to do something here with this. It's just that they're reacting to what's happening, and that's what's causing some problems.
All right, one more thing on this, and I want to get on to some actual positive things about baseball because, I mean, contrary to popular belief, they do exist, you know, but it's the scandal that makes the headlines. And this is a texter. Now, this is something I probably would have asked you anyway, but I like what he says here. In his opinion, saying what bothers me so much is that this is just an overreaction to low batting averages. Those low averages come based a direct result, are a direct result of analytics, both fielding and launch angle. It's just today's audience needs 10-9 scores instead of 3-2. Do you agree with that?
To a point. I mean, somewhat, if you look at the defensive positioning, obviously teams have a lot more data. And if you hit a baseball up the middle 15, 20 years ago, that was a hit. You watch a game today, that's an out, the way guys are positioned to everything. And so when you have data, you're going to use it. But ultimately, what Major League Baseball did to the production of the baseball this year impacted the game more than anything else. And so their corrective measure, rather than change the baseball again, was to go this direction with that. So, you know, to a point, yes, the game has evolved because of the data in hand. Teams are just going to continue to use it. They're not going to throw away this data. No good operational person will do that. So this is how the game's adapted, but baseball's got to do something ultimately to the production of the baseball that works for both the league and their players.
All right, Jason Collette, RotoWire, FanGraphs, he's with us on the Technicom hotline. I say this or ask this kind of tongue-in-cheek, but not really. There's plenty of things that I could point to, Jason, but give me something positive that's happening in the game of baseball right now. The most positive story out of baseball that you can think of at this moment in time, what is it?
The San Francisco Giants. Nobody had the San Francisco Giants as a contending team this season. All the focus was on the LA Dodgers and the San Diego Padres. And you look at that San Francisco team, and Gabe Kapler is doing a wonderful thing with that roster. That team needs more attention. It's going to be great when they go out here in the next couple of weeks and add to that roster, because what early on people thought, oh, this team can't hang around. Well, they're still here. They're still scoring runs. They're still pitching well. Anthony Discofani has had a resurgence since leaving Cincinnati and going over there to San Francisco, much like Kevin Gausman did when he left Baltimore and came to the West Coast. So folks need to pay more attention to the San Francisco Giants because they're probably the best story in baseball right now.
Braves beat the Cardinals 4-0 yesterday, and that was a welcome result for them after taking a couple of 10-8 losses to the Red Sox. This Braves team has dealt with so much. They got a little bit of good news yesterday about Mike Soroka, but, I mean, Tucker Davidson leaves in the third inning the other night with forearm issues, and I think his previous seven starts, his ERA was about 1.53. I joked with Chip Carey a few days ago, but I wasn't joking. Lately, if it's not bad news, there's no news for the Atlanta Braves. Can they weather this storm? How are you feeling about Atlanta this morning?
Yeah, we said last week they were treading water. They're still treading water. They haven't moved. I mean, unfortunately, they ran into a buzzsaw of a Boston offense. I mean, Boston can lay the wood on pitching if that pitcher doesn't have good command, and Boston let them have it. And so they're still treading water, which is good news, but you want to see them move, pardon me, you want to see them move in some direction, and every week they're stuck in neutral. And they've got to make a surge, whether it's adding to the roster or whatnot. But their depth is certainly being challenged with these pitching injuries. You know, losing a Noah was terrible timing. Anderson, they would hope Soroka is going to be back by now, but he's not. And, you know, it is what it is. They have to move in a positive direction here sooner rather than later.
Jason Collette, RotoWire, FanGraphs with us on the Technicom hotline. We're not to the midway point yet, obviously, but to this point in the season, Jason, who is the most valuable player in both leagues in your mind?
I would go with Shohei Ohtani, even though the Angels aren't where they need to be. You look what Ohtani's doing. It's an amazing level of production, what he's able to do. And in the National League, around everything that's happened with him, Fernando Tatis Jr., considering we were worried that his shoulder was going to be a season-ending injury, you look at what he's able to do It's just been really fun to watch. I am not one of those guys who says the team has to be a first place or a playoff team to say they're an MVP, which is why I'm talking about Ohtani. But you look at the difference he's making in the game, whether he's pitching, his hitting, his base stealing. Both these guys are on the West Coast. The East Coast fans just have to stay up a little longer at night and watch these guys play because they're electric.
How hopeful should Cubs fans be that this team is for real? They're 39-30. They did a slim one-game lead there in the NL Central. The Brewers are right there nipping on their heels. But, I mean, Cubs fans have been through a lot since winning the World Series a couple of years ago. Can this team make a real run? How do you feel about those guys?
Yeah, I think they can. I mean, it's one last hurrah. When you look at the way the roster's constructed, this is their last go. And I think the players, it's not like it's a bunch of kids on this roster. They have veterans. They've got a nice balance, and they recognize that it's their last hurrah, so let's make a go for it. You know, one of the things that's truly helped them is the resurgence of Craig Kimbrell in the back end. You know, we thought he was lost in 19 and 20 with his inconsistency, and he's been absolutely dominant in the back end, and that's really helped solidify things. Kyle Hendricks has won 7 starts in a row, and early on, Kyle Hendricks was having some issues, and then Kyle Hendricks has turned it around and has had 7 quality starts in a row, each one of those wins, and that's what's helping push Chicago forward. And the whole offense hasn't surged forward at once, but enough guys are chipping in here and there, and they're just keeping that momentum going forward, and they have to hope that they can stay ahead of Milwaukee. Milwaukee's got that awesome pitching staff from top to bottom, which really helps them stay in the games because their offense has been inconsistent around the injuries they've had.
This is a purely ego-driven question, Jason. I try to be an honest guy. I picked the A's to win the West, and after they started the season 0-6, I felt like a dummy. Well, here's Oakland, 43-27, and they've won 8 of 10, a 2-game lead on the Astros. I liked Oakland to start the season. I know I wasn't alone in that, but what's really clicked for this team? Was it just getting back to what we saw last year, or is it more than that?
You know, it's really getting back to what they had last year. And they're such a weird roster because at times they can look completely, not inept, but they can look lost offensively. But they have enough pitching to keep them in the game. And with the bullpen, they have got a lot of quantity. And they've got quality defense on the corner with Olsen and Chapman. Laureano is an underrated player, but they've got enough pieces, and when you put all those pieces together, it makes a very good roster. Now, but then again, that is Houston's division to lose. Houston got off to a slow start, but you look at the baseball Houston's been playing the last couple of weeks, and they're getting right back to where they were. Jose Altuve has had a very nice bounce-back season, and if the Astros can get healthy pitching, I could see them taking a big jump in the second half because that offense really just puts a hurting on teams. If they're playing 7 games, 5 days a week, it is a rough outing for a pitcher.
Jason, always appreciate you, buddy. Thank you for the time, always for the insight. Have a great weekend. Look forward to next Friday.
All right, guys. Take care. Thank you.